All right, it's 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. We've been talking about how Drake May is all over the place as far as these rankings that are coming out, the respect that he's getting, the disrespect that he's getting. I'll tell you one place real quick where he's getting respect, and that is the sports betting websites. Ken, you sent this to us earlier. This is from Bet Online, one of the sports books there, and they've got all the quarterbacks, almost all of them, and they've got over-unders for passing yards predicted this year and touchdown passes and interceptions. And, man, there aren't many people that they're predicting to have a better season than Drake May. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at what they predict his passing yards is going to be, it's right now at over-under 3,800.5.
Oh, over all day.
So you, well, I mean,
last year was at 4,400. Yeah.
So, but yeah. I'm taking a look, and, like, there's maybe three people who are better than him. They've got Dak Prescott at almost 4,000. They've got Jared Goff at over 4,000, 4,099. Joe Burrow at 3,999, and Matthew Stafford, and that's it. And everyone else, they think that Drake May, those are the only people that they're thinking are going to have a better, more passing yards this season. Touchdown passes, they've got Drake May right now at 26.5. What was he last year?
31 last year.
Jeez.
31, eight INTs, I believe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've got him at...
Don't forget, he had like over 600 yards rushing, too.
I mean, yeah.
Which the guys in front of him right now, those Stafford and Goff, don't rush for... 1 yard a season.
And 72% completion percentage, which was, there weren't many people knocking Drake May when he came out, but one guy who did was Merrill Hodge.
Oh,
and the one
yeah.
thing he talked about was his accuracy. Like, he's not going to succeed in this league.
Because of his accuracy.
And for him to complete 72% of his balls with not a top, well, I guess Diggs was kind of a
It wasn't like 10. He was just throwing swing routes into the flat.
Right, right.
They were deep down the ball.
Correct.
Down the field.
The only players that they've got are quarterbacks with higher TD passes predicted is Brock Purdy with 27.5, Dak Prescott with 27.5, and then Joe Burrow they think is going to have 32.5, which I think is by far the most.
And by the way, not to overkill with rankings, but the Jeremy Fowler receiver rankings were out today, and the only team that had two receivers in the top 10 were Dallas and Dak Prescott. They had CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, both top 10 receivers.
Sure.
So they're he's loaded.
So now you've got a guy who was second in the MVP voting, and on top of that, you've got people like this on our text line saying Drake had the third worst QBR in the playoffs in NFL history, played the third easiest regular season schedule for 2025 in NFL history, going to the 2026 season with the hardest regular season schedule. I love May, but he needs to prove it. I mean, he does make a decent point. He makes a decent point. You know, is it with that schedule, was it tough to be as good as he was? I think that obviously what he did was still impressive, but Ted, I mean, when you hear something like that, it's a decent point.
Yeah, no, that's fine, and the people are going to keep saying that. I will go back to, did you see the conditions in the playoffs? Did any of the quarterbacks that he played against, how did they do in those games?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Including C.J. Stroud, who a couple years ago was kind of Drake May of a couple years ago, and I bought in. I was like, oh, man, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, how did Justin Herbert do, the guy that is being, that supposedly is better than him in a lot of these rankings? Look at the conditions. Factor in the injury. And that's what I would say about the playoffs and the soft schedule. Those are all valid points, but did they just win by the hair of their, chinny chin chin in those games, or did they blow teams out?
Well, Denver they did, but he had the signature run in the snow.
No, Denver was in the playoffs. I'm talking about the regular season against the soft teams.
Oh, yeah.
Did they annihilate teams, or did they just barely get by and wins and squeak out wins? They crushed teams.
They crushed teams.
So I get the soft schedule. I get the playoffs, but when you factor in those other, I think you can look at it more favorably for Drake.
I just think that he's somewhere in between. He's somewhere in between being the guy who was second in the MVP running, and I don't think that he's the second best quarterback by all means. I don't. I think that obviously there's a couple better.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am looking at some of these lists where they have him at number 61 in the NFL, like the 61st best player in the NFL, where he's got, like, Lane Johnson ahead of him by 20 places.
You're so upset by the Lane Johnson.
That made me laugh.
I mean, Lane Johnson is a good...
But he's, like, old. He's, like, 36 or something. Sure, he's fine, but Drake May was up for MVP.
But to be honest, if you're in Seattle, aren't you more upset that Sam Darnold gets no love whatsoever? And actually, Lamar, I think, gets more disrespected than Drake on a lot of these lists, because some people are kind of bailing on Lamar. Not every list. Some people like him, but some people are out. I feel like Drake, if you put Drake in the top 10, it's not disrespect. It's understandable from a national point of view. To your point, Ted, a lot of people didn't watch these games as closely as we did.
All right, let's take Josh Allen, let's take Matthew Stafford, and maybe even Patrick Mahomes out of it. and I'm going to name a quarterback, and you tell me if they're overrated or underrated, okay? Because you know, this is one of those times where everyone's got an opinion. Joe Burrow.
Overrated.
Overrated. I'm with you. Absolutely.
I love him. I'd have fourth right now. Fourth best. Drake third, Burrow four.
Got to stay healthy. And also, he's, you know, I mean, he's been inconsistent. Lamar Jackson.
I'd have him fifth. I think he's being overrated, but I think he, based on this, I think he's underrated.
I think he's underrated.
I think so, too. Dak Prescott.
Overrated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert.
Way overrated.
He's like top five or six in a lot of these
overrated,
lists.
Most overrated sure. player in this century.
Justin Herbert.
In pro sports, Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert? Herbert?
Yes.
Wow. Jared Goff. Underrated.
He's kind of...
I'd say...
He had a 105.5 rating last year, so right it's tough to say like he's terrible, but...
You play in a dome. Yep. And his career got off. I mean, the last part of his career has been better. I mean, the first part, not so good. But so I'd say he's kind of right where he needs.
Yeah, I agree. He's kind of right there.
Caleb Williams.
Overrated.
Now, see, you love Caleb Williams.
I don't love Caleb Williams. I thought
the highlights are enticing.
Highlights have been amazing, and he now has an OBJ play, a play that is his signature play that kids are going to mock and they're going to do, and I think that that is going to make people's impression of him that he is a better player than he actually is. That that stand-up throw that, or the jump pass that he did is amazing. And as a matter of fact, they had him recreate it for the new Madden cover. Mm-hmm. And being on Madden alone means you're going to suck this year. So, yes, I would say he is overrated. He's fun to watch. I absolutely love, and I love how people hate him too. Like, there's a lot of people who just can't stand the guy. You're one of those guys.
Yeah. Jalen Brown and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, those are your two. What? That's very simple. A lot of similarities.
And Belichick.
Is it the fingernail thing? Because he came out with that.
Yeah, he cried in his mom's arms, man. Come on, man.
And so did Erling Haaland, though, when they won. He was crying. I mean, you didn't rip him.
And then his dad wanted ownership in the team that he was drafting him. Come on, settle down, you guys.
All right, let's go Brock Purdy. Underrated.
I think he's overrated.
I think overrated.
It shocks me how many times he pops up on these lists.
Yeah, he's just a system guy. I can't imagine him being very good in a
system. I'd put him behind Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Hurts. I think Hurts is kind of underrated now.
No,
Somehow he's fallen off.
Okay.
I know A.J. Brown doesn't like him or whatever, but... He's good. I mean, the guy's a winner.
I don't think he's as good as some people think, though.
Okay,
I'll give you one more underrated. Baker Mayfield.
Ooh,
I think Baker's underrated.
Mago was talking about seeing the new quarterback thing on Netflix is out, and they have some Baker mic'd up action, and he's like ripping his teammates left and right. So I'm kind of curious to watch that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's a real a-hole.
He's kind of
practice.
A douchebag. Yeah, yeah.
So that, but I like him. I think he's underrated.
He's a douchebag, but I think that he plays hard enough that his teammates respect mm-hmm. him.
What about Jordan Love? I think he's overrated almost to Herbert levels. But maybe I just don't see him enough, and maybe he's better than I think.
That's a good call.
I'd say overrated a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he's a little bit overrated. But I think there's definitely potential there, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lost his best weapon, his tight end, last year.
Most underrated is Joe Milton, who you continue to mock despite meeting him at the Super Bowl.
I talked to my friends down in Dallas. They can't stand a guy.
Wait till he gets in and lights up the world. Guy. Dak's going to get hurt. Milton's going to go 14-2 this year. It's going to be glorious.
Fraud, I think, was the word that was used a lot to describe him.
Fraud?
You
fraud.
Talked to him. You had him on Radio Row Week.
Yeah.
He was charming.
I didn't call him out, did I?
No.
Back down.
Like, slurped it up like soup.
Ted, were you going to go after him? No. I didn't want to be disrespectful. If our guest is sitting there live in front of me, I would be very respectful.
Sure. But I'm sure that you've brought up some things the guests are sitting across from you, and you've done it in a respectful way.
Always.
Criticism
that's
like
style.
That.
Yeah, that's my style. I can't go at him.
Of course. I'm with you, though, but there's been players that I've been like so tough on, and then I meet him, I'm like, you're an all right guy.
I used to be tough on J.J. Watt a little bit, call him a little fraudy, you know, because he was doing a lot of his self-promotioning.
Hardo.
Dude, and then we had him on, and all he did was love me up. J.J. Watt's the greatest football player I've ever seen. Are you kidding me? This guy's the best.
It's true. It's right. I've interviewed J.J. Watt before, and he's very personable, and he's a good dude when you're talking to him, but then you see him in like Hard Knocks. He's like, bring the camera over here. Watch me flip these tires. I'm the only one sticking around and signing these autographs. All these other jacks are out here just like going and taking their showers, and then afterwards, I'm going to hit it with a jugs machine just over and over, and then I'm going to hit the sled just while the camera... Don't leave, cameraman. Don't leave.
I thought he'd have like a bigger post NFL career. I thought he'd be a movie star. I thought he's got that kind of a charm.
He's still on TV though. He's hanging in there.
Yeah, he does. Is he a studio guy?
I think he's still in the studio.
He does do studio stuff, but he hasn't kind of like during that. It was like a hurricane that they had in Houston, and it was like
51 inches of water.
A warning was like, do not leave your house. It will put these first responders in jeopardy. Do not make them have to go save you. And he put on Instagram, screw the tornado. I'm coming out. I'm going to work out. Yeah, and he had a picture of him, like, walking into the workout, like, through a big puddle. I'm like, you jacks. That was for. You're like, you absolute jerk. What are you doing that, putting these people in danger?
He did have a hard O. He was a hard O the first 5-6 years, and then he's mellowed out now, man. Now he's much more likable.
Yeah, no, I do. You're right. I've kind of switched on him. Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in 2 minutes. And then when we get back, we have been talking about Jaylen Brown and him heading to the Sixers and whether or not this could have been the best thing that could happen to the Celtics. There's a lot of articles written now about how the Celtics are going to be a better team statistically. But to me, I don't even think it's about the Celtics. I think it's about the disaster that is waiting for us with the 76ers. And there is one more element that could add to that. The one thing that everyone in the NBA seems to be waiting for could make things even worse in Philadelphia. We'll get to that in just 2 minutes. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. It is that Yacht Rock time of year, baby.
And it's Philly band right here.
Love this.
All-star game tonight.
And you can also listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. Did you say you're seeing the Odyssey on Thursday?
Thursday, yes. Oh, right, man. After the show.
Nothing but great reviews. It looks
really
amazing. It does. You know what I'm actually seeing tomorrow night? There is a... remember the movie Paranormal Activity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, pretty good movie. Like,
oh,
found
I'm going to
think. Yeah, so like it's about to become a Broadway, like a thing on Broadway, but before they move it to New York, they like to do a run sometimes in Boston. And like the Emerson Colonial Theater is doing it for like a couple of weeks. I'm going tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you there.
Yeah, awesome. Apparently the special effects and stuff are insane.
Oh, really? Because I have not read a review. Yeah. And I was wondering like,
I have no idea what to expect, but the early word.
What makes that, because I think we were talking about the Blair Witch trial.
Yeah.
What makes that kind of type of movie so successful?
The found footage thing? Well, the Blair Witch one was because they did such a good job. It was the first.
I went thinking it was a real thing.
Because there was no internet back then.
No.
Like, no one knew.
And the History Channel, this was so great. The movie studio had made a fake documentary and paid the History Channel to play it. So you see something on the History Channel, you're like, well, this is obviously real.
Right.
So people went into the theater thinking that it was real. Yeah. And that made it 10 times better.
It did. It made it. Dude, I was scared because I thought it was real.
Yep. Even if you knew it wasn't real, it was a well done movie. It was very scary. And Paranormal Activity was kind of like, you know, in the same vein. You know, it's like where you have house cameras all over and there's ghosts and stuff moving all around. It just seems like something kind of cool. So I'm seeing that Wednesday. But
it seems weird they would bring it back. It seemed like the first wave was the real thing. That was in the zeitgeist in the moment. Now it's like people know the deal.
Well, like, you know, Cloverfield was like that. There's like a bunch of like found footage movies. Oh, I'll tell you a good one that you should see. The movie Creep. Have you guys seen Creep?
No.
Oh, Creep is great. It's about a dude who gets follows a Craigslist ad, and he has to go out to the woods and meet this guy by himself, and he says, hey, I'm dying of brain cancer, and I want you to film this video for my unborn son, and weird stuff happens.
Weird stuff happens.
That's a good one.
It's a very, very weird
Whatever movie. Rich suggests, it always ends with weird stuff happens.
Always.
In there somewhere.
Always. All these great movies that I've never heard of, Rich has seen. Are they really that great?
Well, I'm not going to suggest Superman.
What was the one yesterday? The Raid Redemption?
The Raid Redemption rules.
I write these down, and eventually I get to them.
Yeah, it's like, and Border.
Border is super strange, but The Raid is a straight up, like, it's one of the best action movies you'll ever see. It honestly is. I think it inspired the John Wick movies. It is a great, great, great movie. That's a good one. All right. Tom Brady's been taking a beating. And, you know, this whole deal with the coach of the Seahawks coming out and saying that we got some help from somebody who had, what was the phrase that he used?
Conflict of interest.
Yes. And many people assume that it was Tom Brady. And then was it Zach Gelb who works in the
Gelb
station?
Zach Gelb talked to Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's not. But
he
also
talked to Brady, though. He didn't talk to Brady.
That's true. Yeah. Brady's been all quiet here.
Yeah. I believe it was Brady. But somebody who's never been a fan of Tom Brady is Chris Sims. Chris Sims is the guy that I think before Tom Brady won his final 3 Super Bowls said that he was going to fall off a cliff. Wasn't that his big famous phrase?
That was Kellerman.
Oh, that was Kellerman.
That was Max Kellerman, yep.
That's right.
People think Chris Sims, though, believed they could win with any top 15 quarterback. He was the one who was cited as a former member of Bill's staff
who had said
that. Yeah. That's what Sims Bill
was all about Belichick, thinking it was Belichick that was pulling the strings and not Brady. I mean, I don't think I was living here at the time when Chris Sims was on this team for training camp. I don't think he made the team but I think he was here and backed up Brady for a training camp, I think.
So Chris Sims came out with a list, and it was the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime, ranking the top 10 quarterbacks from when they were in their prime. First, let me ask you this, Ted. What year do you believe Tom Brady was in his prime?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be 2007 to 2017.
See, I would say his best year, like the one where I was like,
"Oh, just the one year."
I'm just trying to take one sample. When you visualize Tom Brady,
yeah,
with Randy Moss and Welker,
50 touchdowns,
no question. I think the exact same thing. So just imagine that
he was 30 by then. Is that the average age? Like, do you think that's prime athlete in football?
For that position, I would say. For other positions, I'd say you're on the back nine.
Yeah. So. Here are Chris Sims' ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime. Let's go to number one.
Number one is Peyton Manning.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, a little bit of a hot take.
Oh, boy.
But you knew he'd be near the top. Sure. Prime Peyton Manning was amazing. He was a fantastic quarterback. But he's number one, not Brady. All right. So, obviously, let's see who number two is.
Number two is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Patrick Mahomes should also be near the top.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Tom Brady? He's got to be number three.
Number three for you in a prime years quarterback countdown list is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that guy. No. I mean, in his prime, man. I don't know, man. In his prime. He did win three MVP awards, I think.
His one title.
I know. It's only one title, but man, in his prime.
Four MVPs, actually. Sad to admit that. He did win four.
All right. Well, listen.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Four
MVPs one time.
One Super Bowl. If that doesn't say Aaron Rodgers, what else does?
Exactly.
Dude.
Exactly.
All right. So if you're going to give it to Aaron Rodgers, then Tom Brady's got to be number four, right?
Yeah. And number four is going to be John Elway.
No. Okay. Oh, I love John.
All right. John
love
Elway.
John. Yeah.
Okay. Then he's got to be number five, right?
At least.
Number five quarterback is going to be Brett Favre.
All right, Brett. I love Brett.
The gunslinger.
Another one title guy.
Gunslinger.
Did win three MVPs, too.
Brett Favre, really?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. What does it say? How old was he when he won his last one?
When his last MVP?
Was it all with Green Bay? I'd be curious. Was there any?
Because that Vikings year.
Vikings years was insane, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good. I don't know if he won MVP, but that first year was great.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. He kind of shoved it in their face pretty
good.
Oh,
big time. Big time.
All right, let's go to... Okay, so that was number five?
That'd be six.
Brady, come on. Brady's got to be six.
Number six is going to be Josh Allen.
Jesus.
Who's never won a Super Bowl. And I mean, he had five turnovers in that division round. Just saying, against Denver.
Yeah, had a great play.
All right, so he's not number six. Brady's got to be seven, right?
Number seven, just ahead of Dan Marino, is Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Oh.
This is insane.
Lamar Jackson ahead of Tom Brady. So I guess the next one's Dan Marino then, right?
Number eight, their peak year. Dan Marino.
Okay. Oh, all right. Dan Marino's, I would probably put him in the top 10. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Dan Marino's in the top 10.
So Fran Tarkenton is next, or what are we going to do?
Seriously.
Who's number nine?
Tom number nine for you is going to be Tom Brady.
Wow. Does he give criteria on how he picked these? Just in their prime.
It's such a bizarre, in their
prime. I don't know.
Okay,
how do you make an argument for Tom Brady
about
being
this? Here's what he said. Yeah. This was his justification. He said, Tom Brady did get afforded the luxury, especially in his prime, in the early prime years of, we're not asking you to carry the team. Belichick is going to come up with an unbelievable defensive game plan. That's nice towards you there. He added that Brady, quote, was not going to extend plays and needed strong pass protection to thrive, unlike some of the other quarterbacks on his list who overcame difficult circumstances with sheer talent. I don't understand. First of all, why is he talking about the first three Super Bowls when that's not him in his prime?
Yeah, he went to seven other ones, Chris, after that. Just seven more.
By the way, Favre MVPs in 95, 6, and 97. Three years in a row, ages 26, 27, 28.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yep.
I mean, this is a joke.
No, it's a total joke.
It's such a joke. It's almost not even worth giving the attention it deserves, other than that's obviously what he wants. And the region, Keith brought this up, is in a weird state with Brady. You almost feel like not defending him based on how weird it feels. You know, Brady Leighton's weird. He's just an odd guy.
But here's the difference. You may not be able to defend his personal actions off the field. He's a weird-ass dude and kind of a dick. But on the field, he's a killer. He's the best of all time, unquestioned. Yeah. There's not even any kind of blurry vision of it being anybody else other than Tom Brady.
Like, his number one quarterback in his prime is Peyton Manning, who never left the pocket. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he likes guys that leave the pocket, guys that are athletes. Okay,
he'll put Mike Vick in there or something like that.
Right, yeah, but no, his number one quarterback is Peyton Manning, who lived 5 yards behind the center,
right,
which is where Tom lived. So, wait a minute, you can't. Peyton Manning's ball was like not a tight spiral. I mean, he got it done. It was a very simple system. Mm-hmm. They played 11 personnel. They didn't motion a lot. Dude, Tom was on another level. I'm sorry, Peyton. Love you, bro. Love you. 7-1 against you. Love you. You're a great quarterback. But the two styles, you can compare the two styles because they're both pocket. And to have them 8 players apart is ridiculous.
Is it a hot take that I would put Mahomes ahead of Peyton on that list?
No, I don't think it's hot.
Okay.
No.
Because so, I would, if I was looking at that list, I would go Brady, Mahomes. Oh, I probably Peyton third. I got to think a little bit more. But
Mahomes won 3 titles. The other guys won 2. I mean, that's not crazy at all. Like, yeah. You just feel like he's a better, you know, bigger winner.
I think I've seen more holy crap moments from Mahomes than I have from Peyton. Peyton's had some great ones, but Mahomes was magic.
Now, like, 14 Pro Bowls for Peyton Manning to 6 right now for Mahomes. So it's just the body of work. Just the longevity is pretty amazing.
No, but I would put Mahomes ahead. Like, you're talking about in their primes, if that's the whole thing
Mahomes
about this
list.
Mahomes
is ahead of Peyton, for sure.
I would think so, too.
For sure. I mean, you know what? Peyton had really good defenses. Dude, he had Edgerrin James. He had great tight ends. He had great wide receivers. I mean, you know, Mahomes had, obviously, Travis Kelce, but Patrick Mahomes did more with less than Peyton did.
Oh, sure. And you know, listen, Brady didn't always have the best weapons.
No.
So, I mean, Chris Sims just hates Tom Brady. And you know what? He got our clicks. He got us talking about him. And then, once again, they're just like Bedard. Don't, whatever you do, Christian Gonzalez, don't talk about me and let them retweet my stories. Please don't do it. Which, of course, makes them retweet it. Where's Joe Montana on that list? That's an interesting thing.
Great point.
I mean, I guess you would put
Didn't
him.
Have a prime.
Would you put him ahead of Marino? I know that he won more, obviously, but Marino's numbers were insane.
I you know what? Sorry, I have to. Yeah, 4 Super Bowls.
Really? Yeah, yeah. You kind of got to.
I thought you went the other way.
No, I put Marino. Yeah. I put, Montana in front
Montana
of Marino.
Out of that? Yeah. Well, there you go. Somebody said, who do you want other than Tom Brady as your winning quarterback? Like, if you have one game, who would you want, like, in their prime?
Right.
Anybody better than Tom Brady?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No one.
No one. Uh-uh. Sorry. None.
So, someone said Brady treated Sims poorly when Sims was on the roster for that preseason, and that's why Sims doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. There has to be some sort of history as to why
Sims was
like
here
him.
Over
2012.
Over
he was like
camp.
A coaching assistant, too. He was like back as a.
Yeah. Probably. Guy. Yeah. Tom probably blew him off. So it's a personal thing.
He's a Belichick buddy, too, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Okay. Big
well,
time.
Then that makes all the sense in the world.
When you
then.
Lost to Peyton was 2000?
Dude, it was his rookie year, 1999. Which he won like 3 games that year, and one was we lost to him. But other than that, 7 games.
Overrated. Games.
Yeah, I love how you knew that immediately.
Yeah.
Well, I would too, man. Dude, yeah. Hell yeah.
So I retired in 2005. You remember that AFC Championship game in 2005?
Yeah.
Where the Patriots had a big lead.
Yeah.
And then Peyton brought him back and stormed back and beat the Patriots in that dramatic game.
Right.
And I was just thinking, because they were hitting the tight end over the middle, which is right where I would have been.
Yeah.
And my boy Eric Alexander, wearing my number 52, was just toasted by the tight end. I'm like, oh, that would be me right there. Oh, I'm glad I'm not out there.
Good choice.
Oh, did you ever crack him? Did you ever get a hit on Peyton?
No.
Wow. Really?
You, because the ball came out so fast.
Yeah.
The strategy against Peyton was you do not blitz him. You ever. If anything, you drop more guys. We did a coverage I've never used before. We would drop 8 guys and rush 3 against Peyton.
Yeah.
The longer Peyton holds the ball, the better it is for the defense because he cannot make good decisions when he's still holding it after 4 seconds.
Wow.
And so if you blitz him, then the reads are easy and he gets the ball out fast. So you never blitz Peyton Manning. So I never got to sack him.
Did you ever hit anybody else on that list? Like, did you ever hit?
He almost took Dan Marino's head off. I saw.
Oh yeah, Marino. That's right. I've seen that shot.
Kidding me? Dude, any pocket quarterback. So Marino never left the pocket. They're gonna blitz me up the A gaps. I think I got two or three sacks against him, and then Bledsoe. And when he went to Buffalo.
Oh yeah.
Belichick blitzing me up the A gap. I take Bledsoe down and just look at him and laugh. Dude, hey, bro, what's up? It was always against pocket quarterbacks that they sent me on the A-blitz.
Any quarterback that you ever gave some extra sauce to?
I would love to have given a little extra to Brett. Mm. I did hit him not late. It was questionable. And we had a little funny exchange. But, no, I hit Brett, but it did not go down as a sack because he got rid of the ball.
What was the funny exchange?
Oh, it's something about the Super Bowl that they beat us in '96.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just reminiscing about something like about that game.
Okay.
Yeah. Or about, you know, the...
Should have come back again, Sturger.
You got any bites? What do you got, any bites in your socks there? What do you got in there, man?
Taking pictures of your smurf hut? You know, what are we doing here? All right, 617-779... Oh, wow, we got some calls. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls right after this.
Let It Breathe for Kego. I'm assuming, since that's one of her favorite bands, that's what you did, long distance dedication there, Shine.
Yep, I got a bunch of Mego rejoins today
nice.
That we will be firing away with.
Very nice.
You can
in honor of her final day.
Veto any of them and make fun of any of them, but don't make fun of the replacements because they are the greats.
Oh, unbelievable band. Yes. Great band. Great
you love,
great
what was
catalog.
The song you love by them? Unsatisfied?
I love Unsatisfied. I'm
that gonna be your wedding song?
I don't think Lindsay would choose that, Curtis. I think she would choose the polar opposite. Seems pretty happy.
Very.
Although I'll tell you what, she has a friend visiting from Chicago. Very nice. The very nice woman. The two of them stay up to ungodly hours. They went to college together, so they're, you know, sharing old memories. But I have to be up in the morning. I like the,
my God.
Like the loud noise and everything. I mean, I gotta be up at, you know, 4:20 in the morning.
You're like, what are you girls doing?
I mean, like, can you
keep it
down?
It's 1:45 in the damn morning.
Keep it down out there, please.
No, Greg's like, it's 9:45. Quiet hours.
Please. I was trying to rest up. I got a big golf match today. I'm playing at the Boston Club in Hingham. Which is very, very bougie, Curtis.
Oh, I mean, well, Hingham. You had me in Hingham.
No carts. So I'm going to have to walk the whole entire thing today. So
this does not make sense to me.
Thoughts and prayers for me walking 18 holes today. What?
It does not make sense to me because, you know, I'm not a golf person. Wouldn't a nicer club have carts?
No.
Because it's like, it's luxurious to drive around a little cart.
No. They want the caddy experience. They want you to walk the course and appreciate the course and take in the environment and all such things. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
At some point this morning, because match two is happening at Foxwoods at Lake of Isles a week from today, me v. Shine. Some point this morning, and we may need some help on this, we need to decide pregame on Thursday night because we're all going down there next Thursday. So question becomes, do you want a pregame at Foxwoods, where there are a lot of incredible offerings, or do you want to find some local spot of some renown in the Foxwoods area where that somebody recommends who listens to the show? That would be my question for pregame.
I mean, I love Foxwoods. There's a million great restaurants. I also know that the road show, the birth of the road show and the evening prior originated when Perry was given Perry's name at Matunic Oyster Bar from a listener.
Yes.
In Rhode Island when we were heading down to Whalers to do our first big roadshow experience. And so if there are recommendations, I do love the organic, you know, let's go try a new spot and maybe it becomes a place in the Greg Hill Show lore.
Okay. Shine, where are you on it?
Yeah, I think I'm always down to hang out at Foxwoods because it means I can gamble, but
yeah.
But I'd be happy to try some local hotspot. I think that'd be fun.
Have you decided how you are wagering on the World Cup finale on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I'm going to bet on Lionel Messi just because I don't think I can bet against him after what Argentina has done in the final minutes of each of their last like four games.
You should have answered that in Spanish.
Claro que sí. Sí se puede.
Yeah. Have you been, I know Mago and Wiggy are non-soccer people, and that's great. I was not a soccer person before the tournament. I probably won't be one
after.
You
are now, though. You're like kind of a hardo now, a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ben Volen wrote a story when I was off, and it was actually, I thought, pretty good. He was writing about how that the game's not that interesting. Everything around it was great. And I think he's kind of right. Like, I love the reaction. I love the drama. I love watching the faces of the Brits who saw their championship aspirations die in 10 minutes. Like, I don't like swimming. But watching Michael Phelps in that 4x100 relay, wherever that was compelling drama. It was awesome.
Like, well, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Wiggy is a better shooter than Michael Phelps is a swimmer. I don't know if you heard that yesterday.
Did Michael Phelps do something to Wiggy?
I don't know. He hates Michael Phelps. Like, I don't know what it is.
He is you could make an argument he's on the Mount Rushmore of American athletes. Like,
oh, definitely.
Like he's.
Like, I mean, you can definitely make that argument. I don't know if I would. I'm not going to sit here and do Mount Rushmore of. Right. American athlete.
Yeah, but well, that'll be tomorrow.
He's definitely a top two Olympian of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if he's on the Mount Rushmore of
I mean, decorated. Who's more decorated?
Well, I mean, Michael Jordan.
Simone Biles is up there.
Tom Brady.
He sucks.
Traitor.
Yeah.
Don't even speak his name.
No, I mean, I don't know. I just, Wiggy thinks.
Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby. I mean, I don't know.
I think they're both Canadian.
You're saying it's got to be.
Well, I thought we were talking North American. Right. We established the continents earlier.
Messi,
in the show.
You know, I think. Whatever. I don't want to go down that road. But the Wiggy Phillips state is very interesting to me.
All right. Well, Red Sox back at it this evening. Doubleheader at Fenway. You can talk about that all morning long, all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And Shime, let's get going with Leeds.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Chime, that is Courtney Love and Hole. Am I correct about that?
Nailed it, Greg.
Okay. By the way, Curtis, you are undergoing intensive dental work, and so I get these text messages when you're on this mic where people say, what's up with Curtis? He sounds like Greg's Chime voice. It's really you're undergoing extensive tooth work.
I don't know. Do I have a lisp today? I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
It's been a blast. I can't wait for Courtney to criticize my teeth, but hopefully in the next couple weeks or months, it'll be gone.
I think they look good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, somebody was just texting from Leominster. They saw them. They can see them from out there, and they said you look fantastic. The Leads are brought to you by Subaru Summer, which is finally here, and you can get details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. So yesterday, I continued to see Drake May slander on my timeline, which I just find ridiculous. Former NFLer TJ Ward played safety for like the Broncos. I think he played at Oregon as well. Called Drake May, and I quote, average.
Average.
Credit to Shady McCoy, kind of gave him a ton of crap for it, and that's the first time I've ever agreed with Shady McCoy, I think. But he absolutely ripped him because TJ Ward loves Caleb Williams but finds Drake May average. I continue to be baffled by the perspective people have on Drake May. And then shortly after that, I come across this graph by the Football Network that has Drake May. Statistically, was the best in terms of EPA from the pocket last year among all quarterbacks in the NFL. The best pocket passer in the entire NFL. Oh, by the way, he can also scoot around because he's elusive and way faster than you think he is. I don't understand. Like, the numbers tell you he's good. If you watch just some of the throws he's made in his very short NFL career, you know he's good. I'm not telling you, like, that you have to have him as your top three quarterback in the NFL. But can we just stop with like he's average just because he played an easy schedule last year, even though he buoyed a very mediocre roster around him through that easy schedule.
Do you think that it is driven by a lengthy, intensive hate that many have subconsciously for the New England Patriots?
I think it's I don't think it's entirely the case, but I think in large part, like or in some part of it, it's these guys had a quarterback for 20 plus years that kicked our ass. They can't get away with this and get another one so fast. And so they're like trying to put him down in hopes that manifestation becomes reality.
No, I really think that we live in a time where people arrive at a conclusion prior to any games being played, and then they work finding reasons to believe that their conclusion was right, as opposed to saying, let's see who's better, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, or any of those guys. And it's, I thought that Caleb Williams was going to be great, so I'm going to say that Drake May's average until I can't stop saying that Drake May's average anymore.
They all three just be great?
Right,
like, I think it's very plausible that all three of those guys are going to have awesome NFL careers.
Shem, right. I just think that in general, the national perspective is so zoomed out from the Patriots that it takes them so long to catch up to things that are happening. And I say that in terms of, like, when you had Bill Belichick in his final season and you turn on the games, the guys in the booth would still be saying, like, well, you know, a Belichick defense does this and a Belichick coach team does that. And it's like, no, they haven't done that for 2 or 3 years because they're so disorganized. Right. Like, this team's a mess.
Right. And they pan to the sideline and Patricia's calling offensive play.
Right. And so I believe that a lot of it has to do with what we talked about yesterday. May going 1-11 in his rookie year before he became the true starter last year, and people saying, well, he had this 1 year under Jerod Mayo where it looked really bad and he looked kind of spazzy even though he was very talented. And so I think they're kind of splitting the difference between those 2 years and maybe not catching up and looking on the bright side of how good and consistent he was last year.
Shime, thank you. Training camp, the opening of training camp, a week away, finally. And you could talk about that all day long, all weekend long, all next week here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Shime, British Open update, if you would.
Yeah, no problem, Greg. Alex Smalley, currently your leader at 5 under par. He is alone atop the leaderboard. Daniel Brown, Sung Jae-im, only a stroke back. Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, a couple strokes back at 3 under amidst a group of about 7 guys.
Okay, and that timing on the final round on Sunday will not have to be altered. They were going to do that should England have advanced to the World Cup final, but that did not happen.
Yeah, no issues there now.
And of course, the match 2, 1 week from tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
at Lake of Isles, Foxwoods. I am hoping that you will all come out. It's kind of a bonus roadshow. Connecticut has been upset forever that there hasn't been a Connecticut roadshow. Well, here you go. You can join us at Lake of Isles. We'll be there the night before. We'll set up some kind of a pregame at Foxwoods. And then you are welcome to play golf during the show. They are kindly, generously donating half of all of the greens fees at Lake of Isles on that day to the Greg Hill Foundation. So make a tee time, go out, play. We'll be doing the show from the first tee, and then the match starts at 10. And you can heckle. I encourage heckling me. Heckle, chirp me all day long. Chirp, chirp, Shime, and we'll see what happens. It's redemption time, Shime.
I'll do my best, Greg. We'll see what we can do.
You played any kind of tune-up? Well, you did play while you were in Michigan.
Yeah, you shot a 62?
Yes, we heard.
No, never said a 62.
Yesterday.
89 is what, right? 89?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Footage not found.
Doesn't sound very confident, though, Shime.
Are you guys playing 18 no matter what or just a match? Because I really want to see Shime like a legit 18-hole score. I know you're not doing stroke, you're doing match play.
No, we did the 9-hole. It was 9 holes last time. I guess
it really only lasted five?
Oh, it's just a 9-hole match.
Yeah, it was a 9-hole match.
Oh, okay, great. That's fine. Yeah.
Same format. Matt, can you imagine Shime playing 18 holes? You guys, Jesus, you'd be out there for 10 hours. I don't feel the confidence level though. You're like, because you know he's.
Well, Wiggy, I talked so much smack last time, and then it all kind of hit me in the face that it's just I don't know that it's worth it this time.
All right. So, you were talking about this earlier, Wiggy. I guess you can add Cam Newton to those who don't have much respect or don't have enough respect for Drake May heading into the season.
Well, doesn't it feel like that? Like the underlying commentary of Drake.
Underlying. Everybody keeps correcting you. The teachers are correcting you on the text.
Well, should I have had better teachers at Eastie when I was going?
Amen.
I mean, Jesus. But the underlying...
Yes, it's their fault, truly.
Yes, it's their fault. I hated school. Should have made it better for me. But the underlying of, like, the sentiment around Drake May...
Sentiment.
Yes. All right. Well,
you can stand on sentiment.
Sentiment. Yeah, I like the word sentiment.
Courtney's like, the grammar is awful on the show today.
Oh, my gosh.
Sentiment.
Oh, I picked up my head too quick. Yeah.
But it just seems like, it seems like mad people are hating on him. And they're just like, this dude is a one-hit wonder. And I don't get it off of, like, his performance.
It's the schedule thing.
It's weird.
Yeah, but even like the schedule thing, like he performed at a high level on the schedule, right? So we have to go back and look through everybody's schedule and say, like, all right, what did Caleb Williams' schedule look like? What did who was ahead of him? Jared Goff on one of those lists?
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know why the hate.
Oh no, that was the Brady one.
Yeah, I don't know why the hate is so bad.
I think it's mostly because of the way he looked and the team looked in the Super Bowl.
But they were playing against great defenses. Like, right, you're playing against great defenses. At times, yeah, you didn't have the great. Your first year starter, like full first year under a new coach, new coordinator. You get your team to a Super Bowl. You don't have the greatest postseason run. You perform well at times, but it's not the greatest postseason. You're going against the best defenses week in and week out in the postseason.
And I mean, but the week before, if we're going to be honest, like Matthew Stafford, who was the MVP. Against that Seahawks defense in the NFC Championship, went 22-35 for 374 yards, three touchdowns, and a passer rating of 128.
Yes. Also, if we're gonna talk about that though, to be fair, Matthew Stafford, that's the third time he faced that Seahawks defense in that season alone.
Right.
Like this is a guy who has seen Mike McDonald's defense not 1 year but 2 years in a row, two times a year, and this is the fifth time he's faced Mike McDonald's defense.
Couldn't you flip that on the Seahawks defense to knowing everything about the Rams offense?
And how many times did divisional opponents face the Patriots over the dynastic years where they would play them much better than other teams because they knew the Patriots offense much better.
Yeah, but one is a...
Didn't Brady have like a 24-3 record against the Bills?
No, we only lost twice. The other one we lost.
Got it.
One guy...
Mouse trapped.
One guy in Matthew Stafford is somebody...
Didn't the defense know him pretty well, though? I mean, I feel like there's a pretty good argument.
No, they did, but Matthew Stafford is somebody who has been in the league, 19 years?
Yeah.
And understands and has been in multiple playoff games? You're talking about a kid who, as a first-year starter, takes a team to the postseason, goes against really good defenses, is still trying to figure out, like, how do I navigate the whole playoff world? And... It's not the I'm not getting this narrative of like, oh, Drake May had a great year. Man, I can't wait to see what he does in year two. Like I feel like he's going to be really good. It's kind of like, I got Caleb Williams and Justin Herbert ahead of him.
Well, I mean, it's the season of lists, and I think a lot of them are there. A lot of them are clickbait. So, but he hasn't been. Has he been higher than six on any list?
Outside of my own, the highest list I've seen him on is Dan Patrick put out a list and he had him 10. Yeah. Or six. I'm sorry, six.
Well, six.
The only list that really matters is he was second in the MVP voting.
Yes, he was.
I mean, so.
Right, but do you think the narrative.
Number one in my heart.
Do you think the narrative around the talking heads when it comes to Drake May is like there's excitement and he's really going to have a great year? Or is it more of.
Trepidation.
He's
going to come back down to earth.
Right. Let's see what now that he's got a harder schedule and all that. And I don't get like when, and I'm only comparing him to the guys that are ahead of him. Like Jordan Love is ahead of him in one of the lists.
Isn't that better?
That's
though?
Ridiculous. We talked about that. Was that yesterday or
yeah.
the day?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And Caleb Williams is even like that. Another one I think was. Cowherd had him third on his list.
Yes, he did.
And so
Cam Newton had him seven.
I understand clickbait, but then there's a point where it's like, man, that's just a dumbass thing to say. Like, how are you? I mean, I say a lot of dumb ish all the time,
right.
But I'm not going to be like, for example, Victor Wembanyama, really good play going into like, well, this will be his third year or whatever. I'm not going to go, oh, Victor Wembanyama, I got him. Ninth on my list of top 10 players.
But Wembanyama's reputation was highly damaged by the performance in the finals.
Yeah, but like, even though next year, like even still, I still think he's probably one of the top seven best players
in
the
NFL. Oh my God, Wiggy, he's top three.
Right.
But he's going into next year?
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I would probably take the Joker, still Giannis.
You have Giannis over Wemby?
I would take, me personally, I would take Giannis over Wemby.
Yep. Come on, Wiggy.
Okay.
Yeah, Giannis had 1 year of injury. Go to look at the year prior to last year.
Do the exercise. I want to hear the other six. So
okay.
Where are the six?
So at? I would have
Joker, Giannis,
Tatum.
I would have Tatum. Yep.
SGA.
So would Mego.
I would have SGA ahead of him.
Paul George.
No, I wouldn't have.
Greg has Pete Pritch ahead of him.
I wouldn't have Paul George.
Peyton Pritchard loves fireworks. Yes.
I probably would.
White guy.
I probably would still have Luka Doncic ahead of him. That's what's that
you
five?
You have Luka above Wemby.
Yes, I would. I mean, I'm not.
Luka just is starting to play defense.
Right, but I'm not. I'm saying I need to see. And Curtis is right. There's a little bit of a knock. I need to see how does Wemby evolve, right? Does he get stronger or is he just going to be pushed out away from the basket and just be relying on hawking up threes or trying to go by guys and throw it off the backboard and get his own rebound?
Ultimately, I think this is a good thing for Drake. If everybody on these lists is saying, eh, maybe he's seventh best, maybe he's ninth best, good. Like, that's less pressure than coming off the Super Bowl and everyone going, well, he's the next hot thing.
Well, yeah,
like,
and it all, I mean, if you can go out there and start the season on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions and win that football game, the narrative completely should change.
But you can't do the thing with the defense being all-time great. Like, look at the 2000 Ravens. We consider that to be the gold standard, right? The defense that year with Ray Lewis and everybody else. No, I mean, the white suit not, you know, withstanding. They allowed in the games prior to that Super Bowl win in the AFC Championship game, they allowed 3 points, 10 points in the divisional, and 3 points in the wild card. Like, that was dominance. The way the Rams played that same defense 2 weeks prior, the guy that won the MVP played exponentially better than your quarterback. A different league.
Yeah, but you got to understand.
Your quarterback was also getting sacked left and right.
Right, and they're two different players. One guy has been, like I said, in the league for 20 years, however long Stafford's been in there. He understands the ins and outs of what it takes to be in a playoff. He's a Super Bowl champion, where the other guy is basically, you know, still like Bambi and still getting his legs underneath him.
Aren't you making the argument then that Drake should be that far behind Matthew Stafford?
No, I'm not saying Stafford.
You're saying one guy's and one guy's
But we never said he should be ahead of Stafford in the rankings either, though.
I said, like, even with my Victor Wembanyama, right? I didn't put him behind Cade Cunningham.
You said he was worse than Hugo.
You know?
But you're doing, you're a texter.
The H is silent.
A texter points out, you're doing.
Need to go back to Spanish class.
You're doing to Wemby what you're mad everybody else is doing to Drake.
No. Because with Wemby, I'm not putting him behind guys that I know he's clearly better than. That's why I brought up Cade Cunningham. Or let's say, I don't know. Like, and I love Jalen Brunson. But I'm not putting Jalen Brunson. And if I did put Jalen Brunson ahead, I think there were people that would be like, oh, okay. But when you start to put Wemby behind, give me a basketball
player. The equivalent of Caleb Williams is what you're saying.
Yeah, the equivalent of Caleb Williams. Let's say, I don't know who that would be.
VJ Edgecombe.
Yes. Yeah, right. There you go.
That was what Greg was going to say.
You know, VJ Edgecombe. I'm not putting him behind that. I'm saying, all right, these guys, like, even with Drake May, if you want to put him behind Mahomes, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow,
Lamar Jackson.
Jackson.
You draw the line at Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
You can't put Drake May behind Justin Herbert.
You can't.
The washing of Justin Herbert is so weird.
I don't get it.
So that's, I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make. You guys don't feel that way? Like, that they're like putting him behind players. You're like, what?
Jared Goff? Like, what are we doing? Why are we putting Drake May behind Jared Goff under any circumstance? It makes no sense to me.
Because you've seen one full season of him, and he unfortunately did not look extraordinary during the playoffs.
You've seen Jared Goff go like, what was it, like 0-8 with Jeff Fisher before, and yet people are still putting him ahead of Drake May. Like, I've seen Jared Goff.
You can't use that, because what was Drake's record the year before last year?
No, I understand.
What
I'm
was
just,
his record, Chime?
It wasn't good.
What was it?
I think he
How
won
like what is it?
Have?
One and eight or something.
Okay, yeah. So let's maybe not knock a quarterback for having one terrible season.
No,
right?
I'm not knocking Jared Goff for having one terrible season, but I've seen Jared Goff play awful football multiple times. Like
he also didn't know where the sun set.
He's also
forget that, Curtis, from Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Wild.
He's also never sniffed an MVP, and Drake May should have won last year.
Let me ask you this question.
And he's from California. He's not from Nebraska.
Mego, let me ask you this question. Okay. Because I think
can you ask it after the break?
Sure can. Let me write it down.
Okay, please write it down.
Yeah.
Counselor. And we'll be back in exactly 2 minutes with that question from Wiggy. That's Drake May
at a football camp that he's been running here in the last couple of days, talking about the Super Bowl motivation for himself and the Patriots this year. Will he use it in his favor? We can get into that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We got the Friday 4-pack on the way, 4-pack of questions every Friday, plus the week in review at 11:45 here on Jones and Keefe. But, Keefe.
Yeah.
We are getting a
lot of Pauls and Georges.
Quite a few suggestions on Pauls and Georges. Double Top 5 Friday. Top 5 Pauls, Top 5 Georges.
Yeah, why not?
Paul George was nowhere on any of those lists.
No, but if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here right now.
That's a great point. Yeah. So let's see. Some of the ones that we miss. People like Paul Rubens.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman. Rest in peace.
Are we counting Pauly Shore and Pauly Walnuts? Like, Pauly Walnuts is a great one from Sopranos. So what would he be? What was his character's name?
I specifically... Pauly D.
Yeah, you had Pauly D, yeah, which Paul, I wouldn't include.
Paul Delvecchio.
That's fine.
That's his name.
So we talked about this before when we did Top 5.
What was Pauly Walnuts' actual name on the show?
I forgot.
Paul what? Because you might allow that.
So we did Top 5 Bills a long time ago, which I specifically left out Billy's and Williams and Will's. I understand
Paul Galtieri.
Yeah, so he's a Pauly, though. Oh, it says Peter Paul Pauly Walnuts Galtieri. he covered all the apostles.
Look, you could
Bible
include
name, Bible name, something to tell.
Yeah, right.
You could count them if you want.
Okay.
But I chose not to.
That's a miss. Paul Stanley is from Kiss. Is that right?
Yes.
Paul Molitor.
Oh, good Paul. You could have had Paul Molitor and George Brett. Two guys that knew how to hit.
That's true. Those guys could play the game.
They were like a Luis Ariz of their day.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It'd slap you a single.
Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, the mall cop.
That's your side of the street.
He was not on the list. I don't know if he made top five, but he would have been up there.
How about Paul Bearer?
Great one.
That's a good one.
Up there.
An omission on my part. One of the great wrestling managers of all time.
Oh, Paul Bearer? I was just thinking of like an actual Paul
Bearer. He was Undertaker's manager. He would carry the urn.
Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman, another good manager. Could have been all managers.
Could have just been all wrestlers.
Yeah, I missed it on that
let's
one.
Let's see. John Paul Jones. Would you count that?
Oh, that's creative. I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Oh, Sean Paul.
Sean Paul.
Damn it. That's a good one.
Paul Wall.
Paul Wall was an honorable mention only because we were talking about it. Right. Well, just because we were talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then
we were good. Top five Walls. And he would have been on both.
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti's a good Paul.
All right. Other Georges. Boy George, you mentioned.
Yeah.
George the Animal Steel, we mentioned.
Yeah, another good wrestling one.
Paul White is the Big Show?
Yeah, Paul White's his real name. He played basketball at Wichita State, I believe.
And then who were you saying is Triple H? We got that
Paul
one.
Paul Levesque.
That's a Paul.
Paul Levesque, a good one, yeah.
Okay, George of the Jungle.
George of the Jungle.
George Washington Carver, I think we mentioned.
Yes.
George, Georgie Porgy. That's, again, a Georgie. I don't know if that counts.
Well, my daughter, Georgie, I did not include because she's a Georgie.
George number one.
Or Georgina, I guess, but.
George Scott.
George Scott.
George Jefferson.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, George Jefferson and George Jetson.
George Jetson. Good one. That's another one.
TV Georges.
George St. Pierre?
Yeah, but I guess he has an S on the end because it's like a French spelling.
Ah.
So it's Georges.
Gorgeous St. George.
Pierre. Gorgeous George. Damn it.
Eddie George.
Oh, actually, that's a really good one. I forgot about Eddie George.
I forgot about Eddie
really
George
good back.
As well.
Paul running back.
Anybody else?
Ran somewhat upright.
Paul Skeens. Oh, we missed Paul Skeens.
Paul
Skeens is pretty good.
Paul Skeens is really
good. That's
nice.
A good Paul.
Yeah, Paul, I feel like it was tougher to come up with the top five Pauls than it was George's.
Oh, no.
Who'd we forget?
George Feeney. Oh, crap. Great one, depressed Sox fan.
Of course, famously had an open marriage until it was closed.
He writes, Billy's favorite old-timer, George Feeney.
Ah, that's a good one.
Damn.
That is a good one.
That's a really good one. All right, keep sending those in, 617-779-7937 on the phones and the text line.
Twitch chat as well, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and of course, at Jones and Key.
As Dice points out, sort of piggybacking off of Greg Hill's submission, you could have done George Foreman the boxer and George Foreman the grill.
Could have been separate.
Damn. George Foreman
grill. Foreman
grill.
George Foreman grill. George Foreman grill. Yeah, you can't.
George
Foreman.
We're not
Foreman doing Foreman's.
Grill.
Yeah, we're
no. Top five Foreman. Well, you started, you told me you were coming up with a top five Franks for some reason.
So Kat goes, I don't recall if it was Paul Frank or Frank Paul, I forget. He created some shirts that I've never seen before. I'm like, Kat, I'm not putting that on my
He's
list.
He's not going to be one of the
but
five
But then
Pauls.
It like threw off my mind where I was making out a list of Franks all of a sudden. I had a whole list of Franks ready to go. So if you ever want to do top five Franks, I also did that list last night. Yeah,
we can do Franks.
Maybe. Anyway.
Frank Costanza.
Frank.
He makes our list. Oh, by the way, Wiggy's weighing in.
Oh, Wiggy's great. He's not even working today.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay, great. What's
top five Georges.
Oh, he's got nice.
George Clinton.
Great one.
Good one, Wiggy. Good
great
one.
Clappy Cheeks and Twitch chat said Paul Dano for top five.
Paul Dano! Paul Dano was, I thought about that name. That's a name I considered.
It's a good strong name.
George Clinton, I didn't think about.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Great one.
Man.
Okay, keep those
going. We're going to expand these to like top 10, top 20s.
Yeah, or just top do more. 50 at the end just of the do more doubles. More doubles.
How about this? I know it's a lot of work and the graphic's going to be hard to read. Top 40 Fridays.
Top 40.
You can continue the alliteration.
Yeah, top 40 like Fridays. Top 40 plus it ties into
a billboard chart.
Yeah, exactly.
Now?
Yeah, pretty much. It sounds like a billboard chart. No, that's a good idea. Top 40.
Top 40 Pauls. Top 40 Georges.
I think we easily could have done both.
We kind of named at least that many at this point.
I think by now we certainly have. Yeah. How much do you think Drake May is using the Super Bowl as motivation? Because I think when you see him on all these lists, Keith, and we talk about this most of the week,
yeah,
he's low on all these lists.
Yeah.
We think because, number one, he's only done it for a year, which I get. I mean, that's not his fault, but he has only done it for a year. And number two, the last thing people saw was his poor postseason and specifically his terrible Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do you think he's using that as motivation?
I would think quite a bit. I mean, I would say it is the Super Bowl, but it's probably that entire run where he has a great regular season. Now, he doesn't win the MVP, so even that could be like a slight motivation, even though we argued that he could have and should have. But then going up against those really good defenses, he just wasn't as good. Like, they just, the offense kind of was not great, kind of carried by the defense, and then really let him down in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I would imagine that's motivation. I mean, anytime your season, you get that far and then you lose. But we've also seen versions of, I'm sure, every Super Bowl losing quarterback has had motivation. And how many times do those guys get back?
Good point.
You know, like, I'm sure they're all fired up and ready to go. Now, I don't know how many of those teams really added to their team. Like, you'd have to go back over some of those Super Bowl losers. And a lot of times, those teams lose coordinators. A lot of times, those teams probably don't get, like, an A.J. Brown type equivalent of an upgrade. So he might actually be in a spot where he could be even a little bit better than he was last year, even though he did set the bar so high for himself.
So that was Drake May talking about the Super Bowl motivation, yep, using it as a driving force at his Flexwork Sports Camp, which he is doing, I believe, in Marlboro, is where this is.
Did you see one of the highlights? He like threw like this bomb to this kid, made like a diving catch in the end zone.
Great play.
Great catch.
Yeah.
Better catch than
honestly,
throw.
Not a great throw. No, but right, a nice yeah, catch. Not a real nice catch. Nice mitts on that kid.
Yep.
Drake also spoke about A.J. Brown and the connection that they've had thus far. Here's what he said.
A.J. Brown, what have you learned about A.J. from working with him the last 6 weeks?
Oh, it has been awesome. Yeah, so I'm looking, really looking forward to playing with him. I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to the camp and building some chemistry, and I know there's already some there for me. You just got to throw it near him, and he'll make a play. So he's a great teammate. He's been great so far, and he loves winning, so we can share that.
Okay, meanwhile.
I love it. Just throw it near him.
Meanwhile. Yeah, that's how he treated it with that kid at the camp.
He was like a young A.J. Brown.
Meanwhile, Karen Garigian at Mass Live reports that Drake May hosted A.J. Brown and his other wide receivers in North Carolina for 3 days last week.
Love it.
Good sign.
I like that.
I would say
people would always give credit to Brady for having everybody out to Montana and all that stuff. So if he's getting the receivers and like the skill position guys together, awesome.
Duck boats. I mean, look, I don't know that I don't know that I'd say it's like all of a sudden they're gonna win the Super Bowl necessarily.
No,
but
I know. No, they're not the favorite. They shouldn't be the favorite, but
if he wasn't working out with his guys, I think we'd criticize that. So good. He's working out with his guys. He should be. That's part of the job. In this day and age.
Definitely.
You know? Norm Van Brocklin,
yeah,
maybe
he didn't post it on social media, so it doesn't count.
Norm Van Brocklin might not have been working out with his receivers back in the day, but you know, present day, I would say
they had other jobs.
I would say that's what I'm saying.
part of the
job now is to do this, and so good for Drake May doing that. Paul Abdul,
no,
not counting that.
I would not include that. I would say that's a separate list. Top five Paulas: Paula from the Challenge, Paula Abdul,
great one.
I might be out of Paulas. Paula Poundstone,
great one. There's a tennis player, Paula something.
Okay.
What's her name?
Maybe fifth on the list at best.
Let's see. Ooh, Paul Perillo. Shout out Paul Perillo.
Oh, Paul Perillo. Another Paul.
Les Paul. Paul Coffey.
Les Paul Rand Paul.
Oh, Rand Paul. Ah, how about that? Paul Coffey.
Not to get political. Yeah, Paul Coffey's good. He's good.
Yeah, real nice player.
Yeah, he was.
You know, like Paul Coffey?
You like guys that score from the defense?
Petey Pablo. That doesn't count.
No.
Hang on. I thought there were some good ones in the Twitch chat. I got to scroll up. Oh, George Bluth. That's a great one.
George Bluth is good. Yeah, you could do like a whole TV Georges, actually.
Jean-Paul from Seinfeld. Is that the marathon runner? Who didn't set the alarm clock?
Oh. Yeah, it is.
That's a good one. Jean-Paul.
Yeah.
Well, was it Jerry was supposed to wake him up or Kramer was supposed
sounds
to wake him up?
Some one of them. There's some hijinks going on.
Mm-hmm.
Arcan texted both Alex Trebek and Ken Griffey Jr. are actually named George.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think my brain can handle that. Ken Griffey Sr.'s name is George.
Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr.'s well, right. name is George.
George Kenneth Griffey Jr.
Check Trebek.
Alex Trebek's name is George.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's tough.
You're ruining it, Arcan.
Yeah, he was George Alexander Trebek.
Wow. Okay. All right. 617-779-7937. Keep those coming.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into an issue for the Patriots, a couple of them. Christian Gonzalez or Gabe Akis.
Yeah. Tough to say.
You got
to
watch the AI translation on that one.
Uh-huh.
Who are you more concerned about? We'll get to that in just 2 minutes here on Jones and Keefe.